Hey, Kirk, everybody, and Lubavitcher Rebbe used to point out that Chazal tell us, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, that when the month of Adar comes in, we increase our Simcha. And when you have two Adars, both months have Simcha. So now we have 60 days of Simcha. So the halacha by Kashrus is that a 60 nullifies things that are the opposite. So if a drop of milk falls into 60 times the volume of meat, it's batel b'shishim. And the same thing if a drop of milk falls into meat, or meat falls into milk, or even treif falls into kosher. If you have 60 times the kosher, it nullifies it. So the Rebbe says when you have 60 times, 60 days of simcha, that should nullify all of the tsaros and all of the difficulties. So that's a special gift that we have in a leap year. Of course, for many women, maybe the special gift, if it's not an anxiety, is an extra month to prepare for Pesach. I'm not sure if that is a positive or a negative. We've been discussing the two mitzvahs connected to the narration of the Exodus. One is the annual mitzvah called Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's only at night. The only time that mitzvah is done is Leil Seder, that is Bedafka at night. But then there is a mitzvah that we must do every day to verbally remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's even in a very short way. And that is goes by a different name. That is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's based on the pasuk Laman Tiskor Es Yom Seischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yomei Chayecha. You shall remember the day that you left Mitzrayim all the days of your life. That's every single day. Now, there is a Mishnah in Brachos. We began looking at it. And part of the Mishnah is actually quoted in the Haggadah. So even if you haven't learned Maseches Brachos, you would be familiar with this passage from the Haggadah, in which there is a statement, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I'm really going to parse this statement very carefully. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani kaven shivim shana. Behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. So we mentioned last week that in fact he was a young man, but when Rabban Gamliel was deposed from the Sanhedrin, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was made the Nasi. And the problem was people might not respect him because of his youth, so his beard turned very old. But be it as it may, I am like a person who was 70. I'm not sure if I mentioned last week the very interesting mystical idea of the Arizal that Rav Chaim Vital brings in Shar HaGilgulim. Right? One of the Sfarim Rav Chaim Vital wrote, based on the Ari's teaching, is about reincarnation, about Gilgul. And it's a very complicated sefer. It's not an easy sefer. I mean, people, you know, part of it is easy because, you know, he gives a list of who's a Gilgal of whom. So that's like kind of fascinating reading. But the theory of Gilgal is not at all a pashut thing. It's a very difficult sefer. Although Chabad.org actually gives you a translation and somewhat of a commentary a little bit. But in the Shar HaGilgulim, Rav Chaim Vital quotes the Ari as saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. Now, interestingly, Shmuel HaNavi died at the age of 52. So when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was born, he was given a neshama that was already on earth 52 years. So as a result, when he was 18 years old, his neshama had spent 70 years on earth. And that is the Kabbalistic meaning. Behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. He had a 70-year-old soul. By the way, we even have an expression in English, but it has mystical overtones. Sometimes you look at a child and you say, this child has an old soul.
Yeah.
Now, that particular expression is not a rabbinic expression. It's not from Chazal, but it is based on the idea of Gilgal, of reincarnation, that a child may, in a sense, not necessarily have a conscious awareness. But that's a big, big question. I remember hearing from my own Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zichrono Livracha, that it was his belief that a Gilgal has no conscious awareness and cannot have conscious awareness of a prior life. So the whole science or pseudoscience, that's called past life regression, where under hypnosis, people remember, he felt that had nothing to do with Gilgal. That was based on whatever, you read something, you saw something, you know, the memories come into your head from all sorts of associations. People want to connect it to Gilgal, and he felt that's not true, because he says there's an unbridgeable wall between your present state of consciousness and that prior life. On the other hand, I think there are other sources that do go in the opposite way. Sarah Rico, I'm not sure if she's here or not, wrote a book about children and adults who remember being victims of the Holocaust. And some of them will be connected to Gilgal and the like. So, you know, I can't be machria all of those things. The human psyche is very, very complex, and it's quite amazing what our subconscious and our dream states can do with the most casual little experiences. We might have seen something out of the corner of our eye. We're not even consciously aware that we saw it, and our mind can spin it into a whole narrative and a whole history. So as a result, the issue of whether a Gilgal has a consciousness of the past life or not is open to question. But be it as it may, the Arizal does say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. Now, one little point about Shmuel HaNavi, which is also very, very difficult. Shmuel HaNavi was so righteous that he is compared to being as great as Moshe and Aaron together. Tremendously righteous. Why would such a man die at such a young age? So the Gemara gives a reason that's frankly very hard to understand. And that is, Chana was trapped by her words. Chana was infertile, you know, for many, many years. And she prayed to Hashem. And she said, if God gives me a child, I will give him to God's service. I will give him to divine service, olam, forever. Now, we know in the Torah, the word olam does not always mean forever. It means until the yovel. Like when it says, for example, if an eved gets his ear pierced, he works forever, it means until the Jubilee year. Now, the yovel, therefore, represents 50 years. So since she said, I will give him to God's service for olam, which means 50 years, and she brought him to the Mishkan when he was 2 years old, her time ran out, or his time ran out, when he was 52. I have to admit, I don't have a good pshat in the Gemara. I mean, is God playing traps on people? God is trapping you? Oh, you said, was there any sin in what she said? I mean, she wanted to give him to serve Hashem in the Mishkan. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, play a verbal trap and paint her into a corner, and paint Shmuel into a corner, that he would die tragically at the age of 52? So it's a very, very difficult Gemara. But the lesson, although it's a vague lesson in and of itself, is you got to be careful what you ask for. Sometimes don't be too exact in the words of what you ask for. Basically ask for Hashem's mercy and kind of leave it to Hashem to kind of work out the implications.
Well, you could say that. And in addition to that, can we say he keeps coming back and that's le'olam?
Oh, because of the Gilgal. Okay. That's very
so
true as well.
It covers both.
I hear you. It covers both. Both things are true. Both right. Things are true at the same time. Yeah. The other thing is, they say already from the Baal Shem Tov said it for sure, and I think it might be the Ari, but I don't remember if the Ari himself said it, that there are no longer any new souls coming into the world. All souls that Hashem created have already been in the world at least once. So all of us are Gilgulim of something. Meaning you just don't have a fresh neshama coming into the world. And the Ramban, now let me just add, I don't want to talk about Gilgal because I would need a much bigger share. Let me point out that the idea of Gilgal itself is not universally accepted. For example, Rav Sadia Gaon, who was aware of the belief in reincarnation. He was aware that many Jews believed in it, but he said it was a foreign idea that entered Judaism from other religious traditions. And the only thing we believe in is we believe in ultimate resurrection of the dead at the end of days. But until we reach that stage, a person lives once, dies, his neshama goes to Olam Haba, and does not re-enter a body until the final eternal resurrection of the dead. So Rav Sacher Gaon absolutely denied any belief in bodily reincarnation. Rambam says nothing about it, and that tends to suggest he also did not believe in it, because if he believed in it, he would have said something, and he simply ignores it. So that indicates he does not probably believe in it. On the other hand, Nachmanides, Ramban, who is pre-Arizal, Ramban is already the 1200s, early 1200s, actually puts great stock in Gilgal. And in fact, he even interprets many verses in Sefer Iyov, right? Sefer Iyov grapples with the idea of why do righteous people suffer? And the ultimate explanation that the book of Iyov gives is very obscure. Hashem simply shows Iyov many, many wonders of the universe. And it's not clear that Hashem is answering the question. And actually, the truth of the matter is Hashem is probably saying it's not an answer that you'll be able to understand. But the Ramban has a commentary on Iyov. And the Ramban interprets the commentary, interprets the book of Iyov, that reincarnation is the partial solution for this, that sometimes we suffer because of the sins that we did in prior life. Now, if somebody were to ask me, if I don't believe in Gilgal, am I an apikoris? Am I a heretic? Like, if I don't believe in Mashiach, I am a heretic. If I don't believe in Tichias HaMesem, I am a heretic. What about Gilgal? So I would have to answer that Gilgal is not an article of faith in the sense that Mashiach is. So if one does not believe in Gilgal, they are not heretical. But as I say, given the fact that so many great, great Gedolim have believed in it, so you're likely to be mistaken. And this is an important distinction that comes up a lot in modern religious discussion. Not every mistake is heretical. I mean, I'll give you another example, though maybe it's a little controversial. The issue of the Babetzer Rebbe, right? So there are many in Chabad, not everybody. And again, this is a vast topic, and if any Chabad people are listening, I say this with deep, deep respect and admiration and really love for the Rebbe that I myself continue to learn from all the time. But the issue is, when the Rebbe was alive, could he have been Mashiach? Absolutely. In fact, I remember hearing back in the 1970s, people ran to Reb Moshe Feinstein when there first began to be a Mashiach moment, and they said, Reb Moshe, you have to do something. People are saying the Rebbe's Mashiach. So Reb Moshe Feinstein said, what would be so bad if he would be? I mean, you know, you can go through the list. You can debate this and that. You know, it says, Mashiach will fight the wars of God. The Rambam says, okay, well, what does fighting the wars of God mean? It doesn't have to be military. And certainly, every generation has to have a Mashiach. That has to be the case, because Mashiach can come today. Mashiach can come 100, you could have come 100 years ago. So there must have been someone. Elamai, if the generation is not worthy, that person dies. So when a great, great person is alive, you know, we don't know if he's Mashiach or not, and maybe he is. But many say once a person is dead, by definition, it has to be somebody else. Yeah. Meaning every neshama, there is a Mashiach neshama, but then it goes on. So many argue that if you believe Mashiach will come back from the dead, you are really adopting Christian belief, because that's really the idea of Yashka. Because Mashiach has a mission to ingather the exiles of Am Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And many say that a person who dies before they do their mission is by definition not the one that's going to be Mashiach. And in fact, the Ramban, in a famous disputation with a renegade Jewish convert to Christianity, made the point that Jesus could not be Messiah simply because he died before completing his mission. So as a result, many have argued that any residual Chabad belief that the Rebbe will come back from the dead is essentially equivalent to a Christian belief, and it's heretical, and it's apocorsis. Now,
I don't feel... back as a Gilgal.
Say again?
If he came back as a Gilgal, and someone else, a new
baby. Yeah, yeah, well, Mashiach, by definition, yeah, that's true, but he won't come back as recognizably Menachem Mendel Schneerson. So my position on it is a little different. My position on it is true that most sources reject the idea that Mashiach will come back from the dead, at least as a recognizable person. But there are some sources that do support the idea. And if therefore one follows those minority sources, one may be in error, but that is not a heretical denial of Mashiach. So the point is, we turn every disagreement into apikorsis. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like you'll see something like anyone that says, anyone that says yeshiva students have to go to the army is an apikoros. Well, apikoros is not the right word to use for that. You can say, you can debate, are they wrong? Are they right? Are they doing something bad? Are they doing something good? But that's not the level of apikoros. You can have well-meaning, well-intentioned people who debate over this. One says we need full-time Torah learning for Siyata Nishmaya. Others say that the Hester model of people who are learning Torah but also helping the state militarily is exactly what a Jewish person should do. This is a debate, and it's an important debate. I'm not diminishing the importance of these types of discussions. They are important, and one does not roll over, and one should discuss this, debate this, and the like. But the vocabulary of apikoros, the vocabulary of heresy, the idea that introducing mathematics in sixth grade is kfira, this is just a misuse of language. And when language is misused, whether it's Hebrew or English, Torah or not Torah, then the underlying concepts get very blurry, get very, very confused. Some of you in your prior Gilgulim, your prior life, might have read a book, 1984, which is long past, but when George Orwell wrote 1984, it was a future day in which he talked about mind control and a totalitarian society. And Orwell understood that a lot of how totalitarianism flourishes is by the misuse or the redefinition of language. Because essentially we think in words. Therefore, when words are given certain meanings, our thoughts are going to be influenced by the meanings that are put on those words. So kfira, apikorsis, really have been very, very much misused in modern religious discussion. Many, many things that are plain wrong are not kfira. They're just wrong. You can be foolish and you're not an apikoros. So it's important to know that. So I would classify Gilgal perhaps along the spectrum of beliefs that are widely held and widely accepted. But if one does not subscribe to it, one is not any type of heretic or apikoros or the left. Okay. So all of this is peripheral. That's just the little digression. Behold, I am a man who is like 70. Okay, but let's go on. Lo zachisi sheteyamer yitzias Mitzrayim balelos. I did not merit that the Exodus should be mentioned at night. Now, this is during the year, not Leil Pesach. He always had his Seder at night, but I didn't merit that the Exodus should be mentioned at night. Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma, until a rabbi named Ben Zoma made a drasha that showed there's an obligation to mention the Exodus at night. We will look at the drasha shortly. What is the issue that's being discussed in the Mishnah? So let me explain this. We know there's a mitzvah of reciting Shema in the morning, and there's a mitzvah of reciting Shema in the evening. The mitzvah of Shema comprises two paragraphs in the Torah. The first is the paragraph Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Ahavta Eitz Hashem Elokecha. And that paragraph is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. I accept upon myself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. I accept God as my sovereign. The second parsha of Shema is keeping the mitzvos, and that's called Kabbalas Mitzvos, meaning after I accept God as my king, I then accept in my life that I will fulfill his commandments. Those two paragraphs are the mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah of reading Kriya Shema. Now, how much of that is d'oraisa and how much of that is Rabbanan, that's a huge machlokas. There are some opinions that say both parshiyot are d'oraisa. There are some opinions that say only the first parsha is d'oraisa. And there are some opinions that say only the first pasuk is d'oraisa. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But be this it may, whether it's the first pasuk or the first parsha or both parshiyos are d'oraisa, certainly at least rabbinically, Kriya Shema comprises two parshiyot. The first is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and the second is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. So now the problem is we have a third parsha of Shema. And that's the parsha of Tzitzis. What is the purpose of the third parsha of Shema? So although I just said it, I called it the third parsha of Shema because it's right after Shema. In reality, it's not part of Shema. Parshas Vayomer is a separate thing that the Chachamim said to put in. And the reason is because two things that it has. Number one, it talks about Tzitzis. And Tzitzis is a visual reminder of the 613 commandments of the Torah. How is that so? Because the gematria of Tzitzis is 600. And there are 8 strings. And there are 5 knots. So 600, 8 and 5 is 613. In addition, if you have the techelas, the blue string, which the Torah requires you to have, and today, big machlokas, because we lost the techelas for a while, and now there's a very, very big debate. Have we rediscovered it? Again, we'll maybe talk for another time about all of that. But what does the techelas remind you of? God's divine throne. The techelas resembles the sea, and the sea resembles the sky. And the sky is the Kisei HaKavod. So one reason why we read Parshas Vayomer is the visual reminder of both God via the Techeles and the 613 mitzvos via the gematria, the knots, and the strings. And the second reason why we read Vayomer is because that is the way we fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of remembering the Exodus. Because what does the last verse in Parshas Tzitzis say? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am the Lord your God. Asher hotseisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Who took you out of the land of Egypt. Lios lachem ve'lokim. To be for you a God. If you look in the Arch Scroll Siddur, there'll be a little asterisk star that says, when you say that verse, you should have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus. So it turns out that Vayomer was added to Kriya Shema for two reasons. One is mitzvos and Hashem, I'll call that as one reason, and the other is Sechivas Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, here is the problem. The mitzvah of tzitzis does not apply at night. Why does the mitzvah of tzitzis not apply at night? Because the Torah says you were isimo, so you have to see your tzitzis by natural light. At night you can't see it. That's why, for example, if you were to put on your talis at night, you would not make a bracha because night is not a time for tzitzis. Now, of course, we normally don't wear our talis at night. The only time we wear our talis at night is Yom Kippur. That is why when the men go to shul on Yom Kippur, they must be careful to put on their talis before sunset. And then they can make a bracha. If they were to put on their talis after sunset, they would not be allowed to make a bracha because technically, you can wear tzitzis at night. There's no sin, but there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. So technically, it would be a bracha levatala. So now here's the question. If there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night, then why should I say the parsha of tzitzis in my bishlama in the daytime, I say vayomer because of tzitzis. But at Myriv, perhaps I should only say Shema and Vayom Shemoa, and I should not say Vayomer in Myriv. So this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is addressing. That even at night, you have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that is why we say Vayomer at night, not because of tzitzis, but only because of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is the debate. In other words, do you say Vayomer at night? Now, according to this, the Gemara in Brachos actually brings the minhag of Eretz Yisrael that they didn't say the whole parsha of tzitzis because most of it is tzitzis. They would only say this. They would say, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor. Then it says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, vasu em tzitzis. They would skip that. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor. Go to the end. Ani Hashem elokeichem, asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. They didn't say all the stuff. Now that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that once we're going to say any of it, we say the whole parsha. But again, the reason why I say Vayomer at night is not the same reasons as I say it in the day. In the day, I say it because of tzitzis as well as Yitzias Mitzrayim. At night, I only say it because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. So now, Ben Zoma, let's go back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's statement. Behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. And I didn't merit that the Exodus should be mentioned at night, which means we didn't say the Parsha of Tzitzis at night until Ben Zoma. Now, here's an interpretive question. What does he mean, I didn't merit that Yitziat Mitzrayim would be mentioned at night? Does he mean, I didn't say it? I didn't know you had to say it? Right? So one interpretation is, he himself is saying, I did not say Vayomer at night until Ben Zoma convinced me. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's initial position was, you don't mention the Exodus at night. Therefore, there's no reason to say Vayomer at night. Tzitzis is not an issue because there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. And Yitzias Mitzrayim is not an issue because there's no mitzvah to mention the Exodus at night. So I did not say Vayomer at night until Ben Zoma gave me a drasha that says you have to mention the Exodus at night. So according to that, the words Lo Zachisi Sheteomer is referring to himself. I did not merit. Now, why would you think I don't have to mention the Exodus at night? Why would you think that? Answer, because we left Mitzrayim in the daytime. So I mentioned the Exodus when Hashem took me out. Now, Rashi does not interpret the words Lo Zachisi Sheteyomer in that lashon. Let me explain why. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is making the point, I did not say Parsha Sittis until Ben Zoma convinced me, he shouldn't have used the passive Lo Zachisi Sheteyomer. I did not merit that it would be said. He should have said, Lo Zachisi Lomar. I did not merit to say. So because of this, Rashi has a little bit of a circumlocution here. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, I could not convince the Chachamim that they should mention the Exodus at night until Ben Zoma made a drasha. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is actually saying, I always mention the Exodus at night, but I couldn't convince the sages until Ben Zoma came along. Now, that fits the words very well. Lo Zachisi, I did not merit that it would be said by others. But there's an obvious problem with Rashi. And that is, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was originally ignorant of Ben Zoma's drash, then why was he saying it at night? In other words, he said, I couldn't convince them to say it at night until Ben Zoma gave a drasha. Meaning I didn't know Ben Zoma's drasha, but he gave a beautiful drasha. Well, so I can ask Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if you didn't know this drasha, why were you saying it at night? See, Bishlam, like the first explanation, Hitaka was not saying it at night, right? If you're saying he himself didn't say it, so he himself didn't say it. But if you're telling me he did say it, but he couldn't convince others, what was his reason? Okay, so we've made 2 points so far, putting aside the Gilgal point, which is peripheral. Point number one is the debate and discussion in the Mishnah is whether or not you should say Parshas Vayomer in Ma'ariv, or only say the first two parshiyos of Shema. Because Vayomer in the daytime is a mention of Tzitzis and a mention of Yetziat Mitzrayim. At night, there is no mitzvah of Tzitzis. So the only possible justification for Vayomer would be to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there is a debate if that mitzvah applies even at night, when there was, because again, the actual redemption is in the daytime. But at night is the beginning of the redemption, Makas B'chalos. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all right, so that's point number one, but that's the Shaila. Point number two is, we have a Machlokas Rishayim. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean when he says, I didn't merit to have the Exodus recited at night until Ben Zoma came along? Does that mean that he himself didn't do it? Meaning he didn't say the Parsha of Sitches at night? Or does it mean he did it, but he couldn't convince others? And right now I left you with the question, if he did it but couldn't convince others, then what was the reason he did it if he didn't have the drasha? Right, so those are the 2 points that we've made so far. By the way, I hope you see that this discussion has nothing to do with Seder night. Everybody says Seder night is night. And therefore, a very good question is, why does the Haggadah bring in this discussion at all? You see, most people, when they read the Haggadah, they figure, since we're making the Seder at night, we need to establish there's a mitzvah to do it at night. But that's not true. Everybody admits that the story of the Seder is at night. Right? So we'll leave, again, I'm leaving it as a question, which we'll get to as we discuss it. Okay. So now let's move to point three. Let's look at Ben Zoma's drasha. Right? Ben Zoma is going to establish the halachic predicate that every day of the year you must mention the Exodus at night as well as the day. And he focuses on the primary verse, Laman Tizkor, Es Yom Seischar Me'aretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha, you shall remember the day that you left Egypt, all the days of your life. Now we know, Ben Zoma says, as a general rule, the Torah never gives you an extra word or even an extra letter. Why does the Torah have to say all the days of your life? The Torah could have said, you shall remember the day that you left Egypt, Yimei Chayecha, the days of your life. What is the significance of the extra emphasis, all the days of your life? So here is Ben Zoma's drasha. If it would have said, remember the Exodus, the days of your life, I might have thought that day means daylight hours. There's only a mitzvah for daylight hours. Why would that be so? Because that's when we left Egypt in the day. So remember it when God took you out. But at night, I would have thought, there's no need to mention it. So the extra word, call all the days of your life, teaches me not only in the day, but even at night. So what is the practical halachic conclusion? Again, the practical conclusion. Therefore, even though there is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night, you still say by Yomer because of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then I told you that the Eretz Yisrael Minhag was a short form of Vayomer. You only said that last verse. Our Minhag is, we say the whole thing. So what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? Once I had Ben Zoma's drasha, I was able to convince, well, either I started doing it myself, or, as Rashi says, I was able to convince other people to do it as well, because of Ben Zoma's drasha. This is called riboy. Riboy simply means an extra word can indicate an expansion of the halacha, riboy. We're marbe, we increase the scope of the halacha. Okay. Now, then the Mishnah goes on, however, and brings an alternative drash of the Chachamim. In other words, Ben Zoma identified an extra word, call. And the extra word is coming to teach me something extra. So according to Ben Zoma, what is the extra teaching? Night. The Chachamim have a different extra teaching. Yemei Chayecha would mean this world. All the days of your life means even when Mashiach comes, you will mention the Exodus. Now, Why would I think not? In other words, why do I need a riboy for Yemot HaMashiach? Answer, I might have thought that because the redemption of Mashiach will be so great, it will supersede everything that came before. Why am I talking about it's Yetzias Mitzrayim? If something even greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim came to pass. So what is my Haba Amina? Like what is, I might have thought that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to mention the Exodus. The extra word call says you're going to mention it forever and ever, even when Mashiach comes. And the reason is very simple. It may very well be true that the miracles of Mashiach will be greater than the miracles of the Exodus. But without Yetzias Mitzrayim, there wouldn't have been a Jewish people at all. We were on the 49th level of impurity. We would have disappeared. So in a sense, all the messianic potential that exists is only because there was a Jewish people who God did not allow to disappear and sink into the 50th level of Tumah. Of course, according to Rashi, there's something kind of non sequitur here, because let's trace the Mishnah according to Rashi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, behold, I am a man who is like 70 years old, and I did not merit to convince the sages that they should mention the Exodus at night until Ben Zoma made a drasha. So apparently what he's saying is, once Ben Zoma made a drasha, I did convince the sages. But he didn't, because after Ben Zoma's drasha, the sages come up with a different drasha. I mean, he didn't convince them because they argue with Ben Zoma. See, if you're just talking about himself, I did not say it until Ben Zoma made the drasha. So he's saying, I was convinced. But if the focus is on convincing others, the Mishnah says others weren't convinced. Okay, but be it as it may, putting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah aside, we have in the Mishnah a machlokes ben Zoma and the Chachamim as to what is the significance of the extra word call. Call is a superfluous word all the days of your life. Is all including night? Or is all including Yemot HaMashiach? Now, the pashtus of this is these are mutually exclusive positions. Meaning, let's look at it the following way. If the Torah just would have said Yemei Chayav, it wouldn't have said all the days of your life, you would not have included night, and you would not have included Mashiach. Meaning both would have been excluded. The extra word call is teaching me some level of expansiveness. And the argument is, which thing are you picking up? Meaning, according to Ben Zoma, that you're picking up night, you will actually not mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yemot HaMashiach. Because like this, in terms of plain logic, without the Torah giving you this authorization, you would have thought, I'm not going to mention the Exodus when Mashiach comes. I need the call. I need the extra word to give me that reshut or the mitzvah. But since, according to Ben Zoma, the extra word is coming tonight, I don't have an inclusion for Mashiach, so I'm not going to do it. Conversely, according to the Chachamim, that it's coming to be Marveh Mashiach, you're not going to do it at night. So it's either Mashiach, but only in the day. Or it's night, but not when Mashiach comes. That's the machlokes here. Which means, according to this, when the Chachamim are marvi yamotu Mashiach, they would not mention the Exodus at night, except for Lev Seder, and therefore they would not say Parshat Vayomer. So this is the simple understanding. Next week we'll talk about more complicated understandings, but these are mutually exclusive positions. And indeed, the Gemara does say explicitly that according to Ben Zoma, we are not going to mention the Exodus when Mashiach comes. And this is going to raise a tremendous difficulty. And I'll leave it for next week. I'm sorry, we're because I came late, we're a little shorter today. And that is, in one of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith is what is called the immutability of the Torah. The Torah will never change. The Torah will not be superseded by another revelation. Therefore, the Rambam says explicitly, when Mashiach comes, all of the mitzvahs are going to continue. The importance of this principle is this is one of our primary arguments against Christianity and Islam. So remember, Christianity and Islam acknowledge the Sinai revelation. Right? A Christian and a Muslim will both say God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. That's an interesting point. Most of the world acknowledges the revelation at Mount Sinai, Christian plus Muslim. Elohat, what do they say? They say it was superseded by a subsequent revelation to either Jesus or Muhammad or whatever it would be. So the Rambam says Judaism believes in the permanent non-changeability of the Torah. And therefore, Yemot HaMashiach, you know, there'll be miracles, there'll be peace, wonderful things, but the Torah is not going to change. The Torah is going to apply even when Mashiach comes. So Rav Yosef Albel, in the Sefer HaIkarim, who was a great philosopher who questioned the Rambam, raises the question, well, how does that work? We see from Ben Zoma, at least, that with the coming of the Mashiach, a mitzvah is going to be abrogated. The mitzvah to remember the Exodus from Egypt, which is one of the mitzvahs, and that's going to be abrogated. So you see that things might change when Mashiach comes. So we'll discuss that next week. How does Ben Zoma fit with the doctrine of immutability, of the non-changeability of the Torah? Okay, so we'll stop here. Have a good week, everybody. Good Chodesh. And you get Shnichtas Adar Marvin Besimcha.
Amen.